Good morning, Kansas City. It's no surprise that the concept of coolness was introduced during the Jazz Age. But you may be interested to know that the phrase was so pervasive, even then, that President Calvin Coolidge's campaign slogan for 1924 was, "Keep cool with Coolidge." He won the election with 54% of the vote, and as a culture, we've been trying to figure out what's cool ever since. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Our guest today is Ilan Dar Nimrod, a researcher completing his postdoctoral fellowship at the University of Rochester Medical Center and one of the co-authors of Coolness, an Empirical Investigation. Yes, an actual academic study on what it means to be cool. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Tell us about the study on cool, how it came about. When did you say to yourself and your colleagues, you know what would be cool? An empirical study on coolness. That's what would be cool. How did you come up with this?
Obviously, there are a few steps between saying an empirical study would be cool and and coolness itself. But I think it just started in a very prosaic kind of manner. A friend of mine who was in grad school with me at the same time and I walked one day back from watching a movie, and for the life of me, I can't even recall what movie was that. And we started discussing whether Steve Buscemi was cool or not. And obviously that led to actually trying to figure out what cool, and we found out that our own definitions are quite dissimilar. So we, being the science geeks that we were, we decided to go and see what research suggests coolness is, and we found out that actually no one tried to quantify what coolness is.
Now, which one of you were arguing that Steve Buscemi was cool, and which one was against it? And how did that lead you in the scientific direction?
My friend Ian Hansen, who's a co-author on that paper, was arguing that Steve Buscemi is cool. And I just couldn't really stomach the idea that a person that portrays the most sleazy and weaselly characters on screen can be considered an epitome of coolness.
I think there's some variables to be considered here, because Reservoir Dog Steve Buscemi is a lot different from Fargo Steve Buscemi, who's a lot different from The Sopranos Steve Buscemi. And I guess that type of discussion can lead you in the empirical direction.
To a certain extent it did, but if you'll allow me, I think there's a line going from all Steve Buscemi characters in which the weasel seems to kind of raise its head in all of them. Mr. Pink, bless his soul, was still a pretty weaselly persona who didn't want to leave a tip in a restaurant.
Right, the world's smallest violin, if you recall that scene out of Reservoir Dogs. Now, based on your findings, after you did the empirical study on cool, is Steve Buscemi cool now?
9 years later, and I still don't have the answer. Now, at least, we know what we should look at when we're looking at Steve Buscemi, as elements to decide whether he's cool or not. Unfortunately, these elements would be somewhat in the eye of the beholder as well. So we know what kind of things might make him cool or not, but some people would say that he possesses them and others would say that he doesn't. So the question, and specifically Steve Buscemi, is still open for anyone that wants to do some research.
Okay, one more Steve Buscemi question, and then we'll move on to the actual empirical study. Have you contacted Steve Buscemi and asked him to participate in the coolness study?
I don't even know how I would be able to do that. It would be, I don't know, I assume that maybe with some of the media attention that the study received, Steve Buscemi himself might be aware of his role in coolness empirical investigation, but I have no idea if it's actually true.
If any of our listeners are out there and know how to get a line on Steve Buscemi, tell him important scientific research is being done and we'd like him to participate. The fate of the world depends on it, definitely. How did you conduct this research, Ilan? And did you seek cool people to help you out with the research?
It'd be hard to seek cool people if you don't even know what cool people means. So,
and that was the premise, right?
Exactly. So what we had to start with was a decision whether we're going to test some theories that some sociologists and historians suggested represent coolness, or we're going to just allow the own young adult kind of mainstream individuals that we based our study on to provide us with their own perceptions of coolness without any prompting from us about what we expect them to say. So we went with the second option, in which we are allowing people to tell us what they believe is associated with coolness, what they feel is cool and uncool, on the other hand. And we aggregated this information. Originally, we started with around 350 individuals and just asked them to provide us any traits, characteristics, behaviors, individuals that they perceive to be either cool or uncool. And when we aggregated all this information, first we were astonished to see how idiosyncratic coolness appears to be. We received thousands of different entries indicating what people believe is cool and people believe is uncool, indicated what behaviors are perceived cool and uncool. But once we actually looked at the information they provide us more carefully, we saw that a lot of the things were actually elements that were repeated or were provided with kind of different slant, but on the same overarching category. So if a person said, for example, that a trait or characteristic associated with cool might be hot or attractive or handsome or beautiful or good-looking, we can all kind of figure out that attractiveness seems to come up a lot when people think about coolness. The same appeared to be with friendliness. So people would say friendly, social, outgoing, extroverted, and they all kind of suggested that being social and being nice to other people plays an important role for people's, nowadays at least,
friendly
perception of call. Yeah, I know.
Friendly surprising. Was a did that surprise you and your co-authors? Friendliness? Really? Cool?
Yes, yes. Apparently it is. Apparently, at least among young adults, mainstream individuals, friendly is one of the coolest elements that you can have. In three different studies that we've conducted, friendliness always appeared to be one of the most important elements in coolness valuation.
Elon, we got some information on Steve Buscemi's cool quotient in from Jackie in Spring Hill. A listener in Spring Hill says that her friend stood in line for a Sonic Youth concert with Steve Buscemi. So that says it all. He has good taste in music. So Jackie gets a thumbs up for Steve Buscemi's cool quotient. But let's get back to your paper, the empirical study on cool. You say in the paper, some people are routinely described as cool, but it's unknown whether this descriptor conveys trait-like information beyond likability or popularity. Why did you find that traits were so important in studying coolness? We just found out friendliness was among the common and most recently mentioned traits in the study. So why are traits so important?
Well, I think in order to create some kind of valuations that would be at least attempting to be objective on how people can become cool, how is this adjectives being assigned to one individual and not the other, you have to try and break it down to see what are the elements that lead people to evaluate a person as cool or not. And these elements have to be to a certain extent, if not completely, based on physical and psychological and behavioral traits. So we didn't restrict our study to only one of those. We allowed our participants to give us any of those. So our study indeed found both physical traits to be important, psychological traits to be important, behavioral traits to be important, and we just kind of screened through what are the elements that seems to be the most important for people when they discuss coolness.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on kcur.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Speaking of discussing coolness, we're discussing coolness with our guest, Elon Dar Nimrod. He's a researcher completing his postdoc fellowship at the University of Rochester Medical Center, and he has an odd and very interesting research approach and subject matter of his research. He's one of the authors of Coolness, an empirical investigation. It's an actual academic study on what it means to be cool. And speaking on what it means to be cool, Kansas City, what's cool to you? Who's the coolest person you know? It's time to single out your friends, family, and movie star crushes. What do they have in terms of coolness that the rest of us don't? Join us at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can get in on that cool conversation by writing into centralstandard@kcur.org as well. And, of course, it's cool if you use Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at KCURCST. Join the conversation, folks, and when you do it cool. What do you consider to be cool growing up, Elon? What and who did you consider?
I think I have kind of an old school cool perspective. So the individuals that I've seen as an epitome of coolness would be people like Miles Davis with The Birth of Cool, James Dean, Malcolm X, Marlon Brando. So there was always kind of an outsider, countercultural, rebellious stance in the people that I consider to be coolness, to be cool.
That's interesting because Miles Davis, Malcolm X, Brando, James Dean, all of these people that you mentioned, they're very cool. I mean, I don't think that's in dispute, but they are hardly friendly, which is a common trait that came up in your empirical investigation. So based on your investigation, is it fair to say that Dean, Brando, Miles Davis, Malcolm X, people like this have sort of gone the way of Justin Bieber? Justin Bieber is now cool?
I think you're going to find that many people, many young individuals will find Justin Bieber cool. And at the same time, they would find Miles Davis cool. And I think that's because the construct, the way that came out, at least in our finding, suffers from what I like to call kind of multiple personality disorder. There are two elements that people perceive, two kind of complexes of traits that people associated with cool. And those three complexes are unrelated, so it's weird because usually when you consider something to have a certain definition, you would have other elements that are close by related to it in some way. But here we found a construct that have two faces, and those two faces are completely different. One of them, you can say, is the face of Miles Davis, and the other face is of Justin Bieber. So while we found that friendliness and attractiveness and confidence and personal competence, so being smart, talented, maybe intelligent, are all elements that are very important when evaluations of cool, we also found that another factor, another facet of coolness appeared to be unrelated, in which rebelliousness, roughness, emotional control, asociality, so being kind of asocial, seems to still exist, but it's just less dominant.
We have some more information in on Steve Buscemi. Kevin writes, Steve Buscemi is without a doubt cool. He's smart. He's funny. He's talented. He's been known to be humble and inclusive, and he's even nice. All important traits for coolness. That's what Kevin writes in at centralstandard@kcur.org. Steve Buscemi was actually the impetus for a study on coolness and empirical investigation. Our guest is Elon Dar Nimrod. We're discussing coolness with him. Leslie writes that Johnny Depp, of course, is the coolest. Doesn't get any cooler than Johnny Depp. Thank you, Leslie, for being cool enough to join this conversation. Dylan in Lawrence, welcome to Central Standard. We got Dylan in Lawrence. Okay, Dylan. Back to you, Elon Dar Nimrod. You say in your study that figuring out how to be cool is arguably a rite of passage in the network of many modern cultures that have otherwise abandoned rites of passage. Why have we abandoned traditional rites of passage, and how has the concept of cool changed because of that?
There's probably sociologists that would be much better in much better position to suggest why we abandoned rite of passages along the way. But if you look at our society, it's pretty apparent that we did. So adolescence is something that seems to stretch between 12 and 34 now, I think. people are... There's no kind of ceremony or one point for in most cultures that shows a movement from boyhood to adulthood, from girlhood to womanhood. And losing this kind of an official rite of passage, I think, created some sort of a vacuum that young adults try to fill out with different elements, and coolness is probably one of these elements. So once you kind of gain the status of a cool person, you already are a person. You're no longer a child.
Or maybe because this adolescence is stretching, as you suggested, maybe perhaps some people between 12 and 34, long after their cool quotient is begun to dissipate and they need to start to be responsible adults, try to hold on to that cool. Talk about that, the cool that they achieved during their high school or early college years or something like that.
I was holding on to my long leather trench coat well into my 30s. And, you know, the sunglasses usually stayed until about 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
Yes, I think we all kind of hold on to our perception of what potentially makes us cool. For some people, it plays a more important role. For some people, it may play less of a role. But coolness as a society kind of element seem to play so many different roles in whether you would look at health behaviors or you would look at consumptions of drug, alcohol, whether you would look at consumerism. So I think we're inundated with elements that keep coolness primed in our minds all the time. So it's not very surprising that people are still, you know, even at their late adolescence in their 30s, trying to to control and to keep that alive to a certain extent.
Has being cool lost its countercultural roots? We think about beatniks with glasses. We think about jazz musicians on the fringes of society, bikers on bikes with black leather chaps or whatever and glasses, out, just born to be wild, born free, the Marlon Brando, James Dean types. Has being cool lost that countercultural element, do you find, in this study?
Well, it didn't lose it completely. I think once it's going to lose it completely, it's going to lose its meaningful terminology, and it's probably going to go in the way that groovy and other terms that are no longer with us, at least not in the in the popular language. I think the fact that it still retains some of this edginess, some of this countercultural stance, is both apparent in the finding. Again, it takes a bit of a backseat to the dominant nice version of coolness, but it's still there. It's evidently there. It's there in pretty much all our studies. And, you know, for me, I'd be very sad to see it gone if it ever going to happen.
I think you don't need an empirical study to come to the conclusion that saying the word groovy isn't actually that cool anymore.
Nor groovy.
But on Twitter, Jeff writes, Quentin Tarantino is probably one of the coolest dudes I can think of. Encyclopedia of nerdy film knowledge. He takes what used to be cool and makes it cool again. And speaking of that recycling of cool and the evolving definitions of cool, do you find that cool is more and more increasingly sold to us by tastemakers and advertisers who help us define what cool is?
Well, I assume that those people don't have any stranglehold on what coolness is, and they probably cater to what they perceive to be as popular and just maybe package it and sell this to us as cool. And to a certain extent, I believe that this packaging and selling is what kind of watered down coolness along the way. Once coolness was countercultural and ironic and somewhat prickly and edgy, It's harder to sell those elements by themselves. You have to smooth out the edges if you want to sell it to a very wide crowd. So by using the word cool and using the terminology of coolness to sell very mainstream products to a wide audience, you probably watered down what coolness used to be and made it what it appears to be, at least prevalent today among young adults.
I can't think of any other greater example of that than hip-hop and rap music, a totally countercultural movement, and guys are in Sprite commercials and hawking sports drinks now. Has that sort of diluted the coolness of that particular music genre in making it reach the mainstream?
I think it's diluted it as far as if you hold on to the old school definition of coolness, the question would be undoubtedly it diluted it. But the fact that coolness terminology itself evolved suggests that that is not necessarily the case in what young mainstream people, at least, perceive as cool. So the fact that you brought it to them and the fact that you made it a bit more commercially available and friendly is probably something that actually contributed to their perception of coolness of that genre of music from the dominant definition of what coolness is.
You also mentioned that the valuation of cool is still in some circles linked to bullying, gang membership, and interpersonal violence. Talk about that aspect of cool with its roots in social deviance and how it plays out on the modern stage.
Well, I think that coolness emerged as a protective stance. Coolness in the 1920s and for decades probably afterwards as well was a stance taken by people that were outsiders, were not mainstream, were countercultural, and using the traits that were associated with coolness that included emotional control, rebelliousness, irony, etc., allow them to keep their own self-esteem and their own self-image somewhat protected from the scrutiny of the mainstream. So if you take, for example, emotional control. Emotional control can really help a person defending them emotionally from criticism that come from all around them. The same would go with rebelliousness. If you rebel against mainstream values and practices, you are allowing yourself to have your own way without seeing yourself as a bad person or a bad exemplar of society because you are obeying different set of values. And roughness would be the same thing. Roughness and toughness that was that were associated with coolness, both in our study and traditionally, are elements that can protect you, provide some physical protection from people that may threaten you physically. But if you take it to the next level, toughness and roughness can also bring about some elements that are undesirable on for the individuals and the society around. So gangs, for example, violence, ultra violence, Quentin Tarantino style, etc., where it's almost a caricature. There are all elements that are associated with coolness, but they are probably the elements that are creating, as they create some benefits for the individuals in protecting him or her, they also create a huge cost for that individual's one, say, someone stand up to them and to the society as a whole when violence become much more accepted.
Our guest is Ilan Dar Nimrod, a researcher completing his postdoctoral fellowship at the University of Rochester Medical Center. He's one of the authors of Coolness, an Empirical Investigation, an academic study on what it means to be cool. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, the Cool Show continues as we continue to delve into the world's first formal empirical study on what it means to be cool and talk to a man with a mustache who fronts a local band. How cool is that? Meanwhile, Kansas City, what or who do you consider to be cool? How have your perceptions of what it means to be cool changed over the years? Call in at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or write in your cool thoughts to Central Standard at kcur.org. Join the conversation, and when you do it cool. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Cool ain't a mood, it's an attitude, dude. That's a simplified take on what it means to be cool by old school rapper Kool Moe Dee, who is apparently so cool he spelled cool with a K. Our guest today takes a deeper look at what it means to be cool. Elon Dar Nimrod, a researcher completing his postdoctoral fellowship at the University of Rochester Medical Center, one of the authors of Coolness, an Empirical Investigation. It's an academic study on what it means to be cool. Meanwhile, Kansas City, what or who do you consider to be cool? Have your perceptions of what it means to be cool changed over the years? Call us at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or write in your cool thoughts at centralstandard@kcur.org. Join the conversation, and when you do it cool. One of the findings of the research study found that friendliness was among the coolest of traits based on the respondents that the researchers garnered. Greg in Kansas City writes to that effect, "Friendly is cool? That's just more proof that the younger generations were brainwashed from watching too much Barney the Dinosaur growing up. God help us," he says. "Cool when I was younger was Dirty Harry or Crockett or Tubbs on Miami Vice. Definitely not friendly, but cool at the time." That's what Greg says. And joining us now is Cody Critchlow, the frontman for the band Shun, shunning all things uncool. Welcome to the show, Cody.
Hi, how's it going?
Pretty good. You sound pretty cool, man. What does it mean to be cool to you?
I don't know. When I was thinking about it, I guess it's just mostly a personal kind of thing. I mean, I guess what I would define as cool is probably going to be totally different from, you know, a lot of other people. I don't know if there's any sort of specific thing that's cool.
Well, I got two questions for you.
Okay.
Is a heat wave cool?
A what?
A heat wave.
I like the heat a lot. Right now it's really, really hot, and I like it. I like sweating, so I think it's cool. I don't know if it is for everyone else.
You think a heat wave is cool? That question comes, by the way, from Mo, who writes in, he's been a fan of your band Shun since you knew how to pronounce it and wanted to know.
I know, Mo.
Right, and wanted to know whether you think the All-Star Game is cool as well.
I don't know what the All-Star Game is. I don't.
Cody, what did you consider, what or who did you consider to be cool growing up?
You know, like pop stars on MTV, those kinds of things. I mean, I guess it varied. Just whatever I was into at that particular time. I mean, I guess a lot of kids are like that, you know. I don't know. Like, I was really into you know, rock music, punk rock music, stuff like that. So that's sort of what I defined as cool. I feel like the older I get, the broader my perception of what cool is. You know, it changes a lot. I feel like I also don't really, like, I can sort of almost like anything now on some level. I can get into anything. So it's hard for me to say what is cool and what isn't.
And speaking of broader definitions of cool, let's bring back in Elon Dar Nimrod, a researcher completing his postdoc fellowship. He's completed a study called Coolness, an Empirical Investigation. It's actually an academic study on what it means to be cool. Elon, being some type of musician or artist doesn't guarantee coolness, but it's considered a universal route to coolness. Why is it that, and then we'll get Cody's response on whether his cool quotient is increased because he's in a band. Why is it that musicians and artists tend to gravitate toward this trait of coolness?
It's a good question if they trend to gravitate towards it or they are more likely to actually receive this valuation. So in our study, at least, we found that part of the dominant perception of cool is a valuation of personal competence, and being talented was a major among them. So I think musicians are evaluated as very talented people, at least by the people that like their music. And it's very unlikely that a person will evaluate a band or a singer that they don't like their music as cool. So I think Cody kind of presented it well last in his last statement by saying, "I just thought that whoever I like was cool." And I think that's part of this dominant version of what coolness is. If I like it, if I find it desirable, if I find it attractive, I evaluate it as a cool thing. If I don't, it doesn't matter how many sunglasses and trench coats the person might wear, they're still not going to be cool.
You can have all the sunglasses and trench coats in the world and still not be cool. That's what you're saying.
I think that's what Cody says.
Steve in Ottawa says that the older he gets, the less concerned about coolness he is. Talk about that age factor, and Cody mentioned that early, about the older he gets, the less concerned about how cool he is and what coolness is in general. What was the age sample of your research?
The age sample was of young adults, so 19, 20, 21 were the majority of the people that constituted the samples that we had. And I think that it probably is somewhat correct in the sense that the further you go from the rite of passage of the moving from adolescent to adulthood, the less you're concerned with the implication of this rite of passage. And as far as coolness represents at least somewhat of a rite of passage, it's no wonder that people a fixation on coolness and becoming cool may be reduced with age.
Are young people now setting the stage for what it means to be cool, or now setting the agenda for what it means to be cool?
I hope not. I really don't want that kind of watered down version of coolness to be the dominant for very long, but it might be.
Cody, you say of course they are. Why is that?
Yeah, that's what, I mean, they always do. They set the standard for everything. It's just the way it is, you know? It's never going to change. It's always going to be like that.
You have a mustache, Cody.
Yes.
Is that cool? Do people think that's cool?
Some people do. I would say the kind of people that think it's the coolest are probably people that aren't cool. I mean, I don't even really like it anymore. I don't like the way my upper lip looks, so I think it's a really good way to sort of disguise that.
Cody, what do you know about your fan base? You say that the youth culture drives coolness and that they drive everything. What do you know about your fan base that gives you that assertion?
I think it varies a lot. I think, you know, I'm always sort of surprised by the people that are into it. But then again, I make pop music, so it's not just specific to one type of person. You know, I feel like there's, you know, 40, 50-year-old moms who are into it, and there's also, you know, like gay teenagers or people who are into, like, Dungeons and Dragons or Frank Zappa. It's sort of, that's the thing that I like about my audience. It seems pretty broad, actually. I think that's cool.
That's a pretty interesting demographic. Dungeons and Dragons and Frank Zappa is a very...
Well, I think those two actually go sort of hand in hand
They do. Did you study subcultures in your study at all? Did you look at subcultures, Elon Garnett?
I mean, I was obsessed with it. I think I always have been. As soon as I really, you know, I mean, I think from a really early age, I was always sort of obsessed with subcultures, but I didn't study it. I was studying fine art, which maybe in some way is sort of a study of subculture.
How about you, Elon? Did you look at subcultures in your study?
No, we didn't. We are planning, though, looking at subcultures because we need to be able to generalize our finding. And I think the study of subcultures where the defensive elements of old school coolness are still much more important may shed some light on the fact that coolness is not as friendly and bip-boppy kind of element among those groups.
Bip-boppy?
Yeah, it came out. It's a very uncool way of presenting it.
That might be the title to a new empirical investigation. What makes you bip-boppy? I would read that. I would definitely read that. What
I'll work on that.
What subcultures will you be looking at? Have you identified that you want to study, taking this cool thing further?
I would want to look at subcultures of hipsters. I think they're very defined as a group, even though they are fiercely believing themselves to be individualistic. So you're going to have the person that ironically wear the John Deere kind of hat, baseball hat, and drinks Bud Light in a bar, meaning him all to be very ironic. I think I would be very interested in looking at what coolness means in a gang culture. I think I would be very interested to look at ethnic minorities and urban inner city youth and see what guides their valuations of coolness. I would really want to try to see if this structure of these two facets of coolness holds true in all these groups, even if the ratio, kind of, you know, which facet is more important than which, changes.
Cody, I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that you know some people who wear John Deere tractor hats and drink beer. Do you?
Well, I'm from Kentucky, so I definitely know people who wear John Deere hats.
But they're not wearing it in irony, are they?
No, they're not. And the thing about it is, too, is it's like I feel like the Internet is changing so much of, like, the way we even think about this kind of stuff. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm 30 years old, so it's odd. Like, if I am hanging out with, like, a 20, 21-year-old, it's like the way their perception of irony is so much different than the way that I look at it. You know, I mean, the Internet and how they get information and the way that they're putting things together and the way they're putting style together, I just don't think it's... I don't even know if, like, hipster really applies in the same way that it did, like, you know, when I was 20 years old. You know, I think it was a much more, like, concentrated effort on being hip or, you know, sort of putting looks together that were ironic, that I don't know if it's really the same way anymore.
Elon, this is a very interesting and salient point in this whole discussion, because in defining cool, you have pre-internet, which there's more time before the internet than there is after the internet, and you have after the internet, and that's why you get Justin Bieber, whose fame and coolness is largely due to his presence on YouTube and viral video and on the internet, and people like James Dean.
Well, everyone.
Right. Talk about the internet's role in coolness, Elon.
That's a very good question, which unfortunately I don't really have any data to suggest that it plays a role. I think internet changed everything, and within it, it changed people's valuation and the way they come to those valuation. And coolness being one of the most important elements that people being evaluated on, probably internet had a role in actual evaluations. But some of the studies that we've conducted on that were conducted online, with people logging into a website and completing some survey questions there and allowing us a glimpse into their own kind of coolness-related psyche. And we found that there is no big difference in the way that people react online versus paper and pencil. So whether the internet changed perceptions of coolness is an open question, but if it did, it translated itself there and later on to the way they address other elements that they are working on.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. I'm discussing what it means to be bip-boppy and also what it means to be cool with our guest, Elon Dar Nimrod, a researcher completing his postdoc fellowship at the University of Rochester Medical Center. And he's one of the authors of a very interesting study, Coolness, an Empirical Investigation, an actual academic study on what it means to be cool. It's not too late to get on this conversation about coolness. Kansas City, what or who do you consider to be cool? Have your perceptions of what it means to be cool changed over the years. Call in at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or write in your cool thoughts at centralstandard@kcur.org. Be cool when you're doing it. Cody Critchlow is the frontman for the band Shun, spelled S-S-I-O-N, and he's adding his cool thoughts to this conversation as well. Do you think the internet, Cody, means that your music can reach a wide swath of people, and is that a cool thing?
Yeah, and it's cool because, I mean, that's why that's why you want to put out your music, you know, so people can hear it. And I think that's the coolest thing about the internet is that it can reach so many different people without it having to sort of follow, like, this really old system of having to go through a record label or, you know, things like that. You have total access and control over the image you put out, the music you put out, and you can reach people all over the world. And I think the internet is the coolest thing that is currently happening and will continue to happen. You know, it's something that allows kids in the middle of nowhere to, like, reach out to people and things all over the world. It's pretty fascinating and awesome. And I feel like, you know, the more I think about, like, what cool means, it's basically the future. I mean, whether we like it or not, that's cool. And being confident in the future, it's cool.
One of our listeners writes, Mar, she writes, talk about what's cool and what isn't cool. If one is cool, they know it when they experience it and they need no outside information. By the way, they say, groovy can be cool if you are. Elon, what do you think about that? Individual definitions of cool with no outside information. Isn't this what the original cool was?
It might have been. I think once we made coolness a status, then you had people that are trying to get to be cool. And because a lot of people are actually holding on to the idea that if you're thriving to be cool, then you, by definition, are not cool, there was some kind of irony installed in that concept, in which you had to be trying to be cool without trying to be cool. And it's I think, a very prevalent thought that cool people are the people that are completely not concerned with whether they are cool or not. And to a certain extent, it plays a role probably in the old school definition of cool. But I think the dominant definition of cool, where there is obvious kind of status thriving attempts of the people by being kind of extremely nice, very sociable, warm and passionate, all the elements that were probably kind of shattering the old school coolness before. I think, you know, actually trying to be popular and trying to be extremely friendly is probably no longer the death of cool as it used to be before.
Let's go to the phones. Louisa in Kansas City, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. I just wanted to kind of reiterate what he just said. You know, I'm 28 now, and the last 10 years I've kind of looked back on what I thought was cool and what it means now to be cool. And it's less about this image you try to portray, and it's more about what you're trying to do for your community and what for the world, really. It's not just about, I don't know, it's just about the word I'm driving as well. It's just about, you know, regardless of what it would be, the art, music, for helping others, helping people, I guess, being cool.
Thank you very much, Louisa. Ed in Prairie Village, welcome to Central Standard. Ed?
Yes, my definitions are going to be different because I'm 74. I think one thing I consider cool is being in control. So I would consider, say, Clint Eastwood, Hillary Clinton, they're both in control. Being understated, Leonardo DiCaprio, Audrey Hepburn, And Katharine Hepburn was cool because she defined her own terms, her own world. Those would be good, my examples of being cool, in control.
Thank you very much, Ed. Very cool of you to call and give us your examples of cool. Ilan Dar Nimrod, control, having control of one situation. How common a trait is that in being cool?
Again, in the dominant, it's probably plays a role in the way that it seems that individualism is somewhat endorsed as part of this dominant version of cool. And individualism usually is related to ability to control the situation around you. I think it's much more important when one look at the second, at the less dominant, the old school version of cool. And it's maybe not surprising that the young 74-year-old caller was suggesting that coolness has such a prominent role in control has such prominent role in coolness, because control, whether it would be emotional, over the situation, over the ability of others to affect you, was certainly a central aspect in old school coolness.
And certainly to some degree in new school coolness as well, if you're setting that trend. How much of what you found in this study, Ilan Dar Nimrod, is determined by what people think is uncool? What do people think are uncool?
Well, in some of our studies, we kind of created a range from very uncool to very cool. And the elements that we found to be representative of cool, so if you kind of look at the other side of them, being unfriendly, being stupid, being unattractive, lacking confidence, would be elements that would represent uncoolness. Interestingly, when we looked at actual people, and we looked at the individuals that people acknowledged, famous individuals that people acknowledged as cool or uncool, a lot of the time we found that people were icons of coolness and of uncoolness at the same time. So about 5 years ago, when we looked at valuations of individuals, of celebrities' coolness, we found that Britney Spears, for example, was considered to be very cool by some, nominated as an icon of cool, but she was also nominated as an icon of uncool. So the same person can be perceived so differently by people that using the same definition, they can probably reach very different conclusions about the coolness quota of these people.
Cody Critchlow, what's uncool?
I have no idea. I really have no idea. It's just based on your own personal ideas or, you know, whatever it is you want to do or how you want to express yourself, basically, you know.
Ilan Dar Nimrod, you say in your conclusion to this study that additional systematic investigation of coolness as a psychological construct may also provide practical insight into the nature of the diverse attitudes and behaviors that have been investigated extensively, but rarely with coolness in mind. Are you trying to start a trend of studying coolness here?
Yes, I do, actually. Don't see that many academics jumping on the wagon, but maybe this interview will help with that. I believe that coolness is a very important construct in the society outside the academia. And as such, it plays a role in behaviors, it plays a role in how people conduct themselves, it plays a role in their perceptions and attitudes about many different elements. And as long as coolness plays a role, and this role is not studied, we miss a major way of understanding how such behaviors occur, why such behaviors occur, how those attitudes are developed, etc. And there are always practical implications for understanding how behaviors occur and why they occur. And there's obviously wide implications to understand how people come to hold on attitudes that can be about ethnic minorities, about social class, etc. Those elements are extremely important even in the academic studies, but if you actually pay the tribute, if you actually follow what people consider to be cool or not in that context, you can actually shed a lot of light on them.
Our guest is Ilan Dar-Nimrod, a researcher completing his postdoc fellowship at the University of Rochester Medical Center. He's one of the authors of Coolness, an Empirical Investigation. It's an academic study on what it means to be cool. We'd like to thank you for coming out today. Very cool of you to join us. And we'd also like to thank Cody Critchlow, the frontman for Shun, for adding some of his cool thoughts to this conversation on cool. Thank you both, gentlemen, for joining us.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
And tune in tomorrow for a conversation with best-selling author Rashonda Billingsley, plus a look at one recent graduate with student loan debt and the way they found to live rent-free on the West Side and turn into one of the most rewarding things that person's ever done. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi. Up to Date is next with a look at the All-Star Game. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.